नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कालेन पश्यत्वमिथेषु कृत्स्नसु लोकेषु पालेषु च सर्वहेतुषु तमस्तदासीद् गहनं गभीरम् यस्थस्य पारे विवराजते विभुः कालेन पञ्चत्वमिथेषु कृष्णसो
In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of His lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. From the Vedic mantras, we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above everything. He is supreme above all the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is the supreme controller. When everything disappears by the influence of his energy, the cosmic situation is one of dense darkness. The Supreme Lord, however, is the sunshine. As confirmed in the Vedic mantras, Aditya Varanam Tamasa Parastat. In our daily experience, when we on earth are in the darkness of night, the sun is always luminous somewhere in the sky. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Sun, always remains luminous. Even when the entire cosmic manifestation is annihilated in due course of time. We are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 3, entitled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender, Text Number 5. Despite Gajendra's efforts, despite all of his hopes, this crocodile just will not let go of him. Gajendra, who is living what any materialistic person would consider an ideal life in every possible way,
who is quite proud of his power, of his reputation, of his ability to control things, now finds himself trapped in the jaws of a crocodile. And he's fighting with this crocodile for 1,000 years, celestial years. And it doesn't say it in the Bhagavatam, but if it was most of us, and probably Gajendra also, he must have been thinking, this crocodile has to let go sometime. But despite his hopes, despite his efforts, the crocodile just will not let go of him. This is the way Maya works for everyone. She just won't let go, no matter what you do. The only thing that can break us loose from the jaws of the crocodile of material energy is when we totally humble ourselves, like Gajendra, realizing that we are completely helpless, and we surrender. There's no other way out of the crocodile of Maya, except to surrender to Krishna. And the surrender, it requires to be of the qualitative feeling of Gajendra. So surrender is not by how we perform our rituals, by how we perform our austerities, by how we become popular in the eyes of others, or unpopular. It's a matter of really humbling ourselves and saying, to Krishna, I'm yours. I'm suffering. This crocodile of Maya is killing me. And there's nothing I can do. And despite hope after hope, now I realize it will never go away until I surrender. Sometimes as devotees, we're wondering, when is Maya going to let up? When is she going to leave me alone? Well, the answer is never, until you surrender like Gajendra. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is not about how many verses we learn. It's not about how many years we've been around. It's not even about how many times we've gone around Govardhan Hill, or how many rounds we've chanted. All these parikramas, all these rounds that we're chanting are all meant to bring us to the point of total surrender. And until that total surrender, Maya's not going to give up. She's going to be there. And that is Krishna's mercy. Krishna doesn't settle for less than complete surrender. He'll settle for whatever you give, but he wants to give you the highest. And you cannot get the highest unless you realize there's nothing else. Everything else is coming and going like the seasons. There's only one thing that is permanent, and there's only one thing that can give me shelter, and that is Krishna. And we can read it and hear it and speak it. But we really have to not just believe it, but we have to act on it. There are dark times in our lives, but nothing is so dark as after the cosmic annihilation. There is nothing but darkness. Yes, in life, it might be a hard day, but we have faith that better days will come. Yes. Maybe a very stormy day in the weather, but we believe that a better day will come. We may be going through some problem, but we have some faith that this problem will end. And that itself gives us shelter. Yes, that the problem will end, that it's temporary. It gives us some shelter. Whether it be a problem due to our own health or our own mental condition, or whether it's by the climate or natural environment, or whether it's problems caused by other living beings. People trying to destroy us, people who just don't act the way we feel is favorable to us. And do you not feel some shelter thinking that someday this will end? Well, at the end of the cosmic, during the cosmic annihilation and after, there's an entire night of Brahma, which is billions of years, where there's no sun, where there's no light. It's total darkness, and there's nothing you can do. In fact, you're sound asleep. Such a totally helpless condition. But even at that time, Krishna is there, above all the darkness, giving the splendor of unlimited suns, inviting us into his eternal transcendental pastimes to give us total relief, shelter, and ecstatic joy. So Maya's way of dealing with us in this world is to keep us under the illusion that things will get better. Yes? No matter how bad things are, Maya tricks us to think Krishna will, things will get better. Whatever crocodile is biting you, it's going to get tired after some time, and it's going to go away. And as long as we have such false hopes, we never surrender. The reality is, as soon as you come into this material existence, the moment you come in, this crocodile of illusion has you in its grips and will never let go. This is Shukadev Goswami's lesson to us in Srimad Bhagavatam. After all else has failed, Gajendra is conscious that only Krishna can save me. I am yours. And in his surrender, he's not asking the Lord to take the crocodile away. He's basically just giving his life to Krishna. In a crocodile, outside of a crocodile, Krishna, I'm yours. That is surrender. We should be aware that in this pond of material existence, we are always in the jaws of this crocodile. When Lord Chaitanya chants, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, what he's saying, if you read further in the song, that the first aspect of surrender is to recognize that we're in the crocodile's mouth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites Lord Chaitanya's words, you are spending your days and nights uselessly decorating your dead bodies. Maya is very strong. Queen Kunti prayed for calamities so that she'd always be aware that she's in the mouth of this crocodile. So that every moment she's crying out to Krishna. Our illusion is we're not aware of our predicament. And even if we are aware sometimes, seriously aware of our predicament, our illusion is we think it's going to go away sometime. Until we surrender to Krishna, it doesn't. You're going to get old. You're going to get diseased. You're going to die, no matter what you do in this life. And then you have to go through the trauma of birth, and you have to go through the whole thing again and everything in between. This crocodile is relentless. And the problem is, this crocodile is as eternal as your very soul. Maya is eternal. The manifestations of hers are temporary, but Maya is forever. She's Krishna's external energy, the Bahiranga Shakti. She's forever. And she gets her jaws around you. She'll never let go for the rest of eternity. Until you surrender to Krishna, surrender to God. That's why in the early days of the Christians, they thought it was great to be martyred, to be crucified, or to be killed, tortured and killed. Because they felt that in that situation where I'm being tortured and killed in the name of God, I could really take shelter and get out of this mess. Yes. It was considered a blessing when people would torture you and kill you. It's considered an honor and a great opportunity. Of course, their idea is if you don't surrender to God, you're going to be in hell forever. Of course, the early Christians, whether they actually believed that or not, I don't know. They're a difference of opinions. But one thing they do definitely believe is there's everlasting suffering until you surrender to the Lord. We have that in common. So whatever situation, don't let Maya trick you thinking, you know, just don't worry. The my jaws will get less after some time. Just, you know, be all right. Never. And whatever form the sufferings come, if we suffered the way we wanted to suffer, it wouldn't really be suffering. Actual suffering means really the way I don't want it. What really hurts me. Maybe coming from other people, maybe coming from my own body, maybe coming from the environment, but somehow or other, the worst suffering is the sufferings that we would never prefer. We would never select this. It's not that there's a list and which, these are the sufferings, choose the ones you like. Sometimes it's going to come the worst possible way. That's what happened to Gajendra. He was totally humiliated. Not only was he in physical, absolute pain, but he was completely humiliated in front of all the people who honored him and worshipped him. He was the king. His own family members, his own wives, who just considered him infallible. His own children, who considered him their shelter. His own subjects, who feared him because of his power. In front of everyone. He was helpless. He was defeated. He had nothing. It is in that state that he is surrendering his life to the Lord. And how is he surrendering? Through his prayers. My Lord, I am yours.
Today's verse, in due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. However, we have our hope against hope of making things better in this world. Eventually, it's going to be this. Is total annihilation. You may think, well, I will die, but my children will carry on my legacy, and I will live through my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and all of that stuff. But eventually, there's nothing else exists. Everything is destroyed. Your property, you may think, oh, I built this beautiful home, or a government may see we have built this beautiful monument which is going to last beyond my lifetime. But it's all going to be destroyed. Actually, a devotee recognizes this time of total annihilation, even in the present moment. Because it's potentially and it's inevitably there, even in the moment.
whatever things there are in this world, it's only separated by a little bit of time till it's all totally annihilated. And there's nothing but darkness. But in every situation, even in this most extreme condition, Krishna's always there to help us. He never lets his devotee down. We may be thinking that there's some other shelter. But Krishna is Surada Sarva Bhutanam. He's everyone's best friend. Whatever's happening, he's right there. It's a paramatma within our heart, just waiting to give us a completely blissful life. He's always waiting for us, no matter what we do, no matter what we've done. Krishna never leaves us. Who could be a better friend than him? If you totally betray, blaspheme, reject somebody, birth after birth after birth, are they going to still be with you? Krishna's love is unconditional. He never leaves us. Always waiting. Always willing to give us a chance. And even in the total darkness of total annihilation, Krishna's always there, like the sun. In other words, there's no time when Krishna will not deliver us if we just turn to him. So this is one of the most important stories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, we read about the beautiful relationships between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. But before we could actually appreciate what is that spiritual exchange of love, we have to go beyond Gajendra's realization. We have to surrender. And in this age of Kali, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, the Lord has descended at his holy name. That same Lord that came down and cut the crocodile's mouth and then transform Gajendra into his original spiritual body, put him on an airplane, and took him back home, back to Godhead. And he did all this within a few minutes. We will read. Because Gajendra was so sincere, Krishna descended with his chakra, cut the crocodile. And that wasn't, and now Gajendra was liberated. Now, if Gajendra, after being liberated, was thinking, oh, what a relief, now I could, you know, take care of my family, and then Krishna would have just left him there. Vishnu would have said, oh, you want to take care of your family now? Okay. But there's going to be another crocodile. You're not out of the real crocodile's mouth. But after he was liberated from the crocodile, Gajendra didn't want to do anything except serve the Lord. He loved the Lord. He was so grateful. So seeing that he had no other desire, he lost all his hopes in the blind faith of Maya's false promises within this world. Krishna not only cut him out of the crocodile, he put him on an airplane and sent him directly to Vaikuntha, nonstop. And the holy name has Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. And in Age of Kali, especially, the holy name incarnates for that same purpose. By the holy name alone, we could be liberated from the jaws of the crocodile of material energy. And the holy name can take us back home to the eternal world of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is our faith, that is our conviction, and that is our good fortune, that we have been given this understanding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that brahmachari, Brahman, it is not by learning, it is not by austerities, it's not just by performing your rituals, it's only by pure devotion. Hanuman was a monkey. The gopis were just simple cowherd girls. Gajendra was an elephant. Whoever we are, when we actually surrender, when we really are convinced that the crocodile will never, ever, ever let go. Sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't, but we're always in that crocodile's jaws of Maya. And factually, even during Lord Brahma's night, when everything is annihilated in total darkness and nothing else exists, the crocodile exists. We're still in the jaws. We may be so sound asleep that we don't even realize it, but we're still in the jaws. Maya doesn't let us go even after the annihilation. And as soon as Brahma wakes up, we wake up and we find we're still there. Maya doesn't go to sleep. She's awake 24 hours a day for eternity. She's Krishna's material energy. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, and he doesn't talk about one day after another. He's talking about kalpa after kalpa. He's talking about Brahma lifetime after Brahma lifetime. We've been in this material world. Brahma lives 311 trillion years. We may have been in the crocodile's jaws of material energy for thousands of Brahma's lifetimes. And for not a second does that crocodile ever let up. Sometimes we recognize it more. And sometimes when people are really enjoying and thinking they're having a good time, that's when the grips are the tightest. In other words, we can't get out. The pleasures are one of the ways that those jaws, she has many, that crocodile has many teeth. Yes, and they're all sharp. Some of them are the teeth of the pleasures that keep us trapped. Some are the teeth of the miseries that keep us trapped. Sometimes, you know, we may shift from one tooth to the other, but we never get out of the jaws. But Krishna has come. In the holy name, to deliver us. And then we realize what a blessing this crocodile really is. Because without Maya, we may be eternally separated from God. Unless she made us suffer the way she does. So in the spirit of Gajendra, not tomorrow, but today, we should learn to sincerely take shelter of the Lord as we are chanting his holy name. Material desires never go away until you surrender to Krishna. When will we learn? Is there any questions? Mahaduti Prabhu, would you like to speak something?
Thank you, Maharaj, for this. It was a very intense experience for me during this whole class, Maharaj, and I had a question that, you know, we as grihasthas who have social life also, apart from the spiritual life, we have a lot of social life where we have to do a lot of social activities like earning money and having a shelter of house and so on and so forth, responsibilities. So while we are learning as sadhakas to take shelter of the Lord, we are in a process. But at the same time, we have a lot of responsibilities. And if we do not feel that the suffering will end, then practically we all will be very depressed people. At least I will be very depressed because if I know that if right now the recession is going on, but if it doesn't end, then I'll be a depressed person. Because how will I survive with all the responsibility that I have? So even though you are teaching us that, yes, we should know for sure that this suffering will never end, but and how do we get rid of the depression, which will be the cause of that thinking? Because if we start thinking this, then at least I feel I will be a very depressed person with my responsibility that I have. So while I'm learning to take shelter, I've not yet learned the whole art. I'm learning to take shelter, but how do we really take care of this both aspects, Maharaj?
Until you recognize the reality of Maya and how we are in the jaws of the crocodile, you'll never surrender to Krishna. It's as easy as that. So we may have to perform our worldly duties But we should not do it in illusion. We should understand that there's only one solution. You see, in time, the recession may go away. Yes? So if that's your hope, that my happiness is based on the hope that the recession will go away. Well, before the recession goes away, so many other things could happen too that are much worse than the recession. Yes? I mean, people are dying of cancer. You think they care about the recession? They'd be very happy with the recession. Yes? People have been betrayed by their loved ones. You think they care about the recession? Yes, there's so many songs about broken hearts. Not many songs about recessions. There's just as many songs during economic prosperity. Yes? And even though the recession may end in time, still, at every moment, you're getting older. Yes? By the time the recession ends, you may be so old you can't enjoy anything anyway. Very soon, we have to grow old, and we have to die. Is there less people dying during economic prosperity than there is during a recession or even a depression? What do you say? Same amount of people die. Everyone. That's material nature. So yes, we have to do our best to perform our duties within this world. But we understand through the eyes of the scriptures that dukkhalayam ashashvatam, that we need Krishna ultimately. Economic prosperity is one of the teeth of the crocodile. Recession is another tooth. Depression is another tooth. Right? But it's the same jaw. Many teeth. Hari Hari, am I depressing you more? No, we should not be depressed because we understand that there's always hope. Which is better, to be in the illusion that things are getting better, or to actually be in the reality where things really do get better? It's like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the goats in the slaughterhouse. They're standing in line. One by one, they're getting their heads cut off. They're being slaughtered. But the ones who are standing in line, they keep them moving forward by giving nice, delicious things to eat. Yes? So they just keep giving delicious food. And each one is enjoying, 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 and they don't realize that they're actually moving forward, and it's just a matter of minutes till they're going to be slaughtered. Now, that goat who's you know, five goats from the end of the line who's enjoying like anything because doesn't know what's coming up. He's actually happy in his own mind. But from the perspective of seeing the whole scenario, tell me, Sri Dhamma Prabhu, would you consider that goat to be happy? It's a fool's happiness. Yes. If somebody has a terminal disease and they're going to die within a month and they don't know it, do you consider, oh, such a good life? Isn't it better to know it and do something about it? Yes? So Krishna consciousness is not about being depressed. Krishna consciousness is about being optimistic. Even in economic prosperity, still the threefold miseries are the same. Yes? They just may be manifesting in slightly different ways. And still, time is consuming our life. Krishna consciousness is just being realistic and being completely hopeful, completely optimistic, and being completely out of depression because we see God. We're calling for Krishna while we're doing all these things that we have to do. We're seeking the permanent solution. So whether there's recession, or whether there's depression, or whether there's abundance of everything material in this world, whatever happens, devotees continue reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names. Yes? In other words, we understand what our shelter is in all situations. And that's where we find our real happiness. Even if nuclear bombs start falling on our heads, what will we do? That's a pretty depressing situation. When the Japanese were bombing Calcutta, and the air raids were going off, and people were going into these undergrounds, Prabhupada was cooking puris for his deities. He was happy. He said, Krishna has come in the form of time. Time I am. He's come in the form of these bombs. So in good times and bad times, in the ups and the downs, in the winters and the summers, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the association of Vaishnavas. We have the holy name. And we have faith that that's always our real shelter. And that's wonderful. Yes, we have to do our best to make this world a nice place. But there's only one thing that could really make it a nice place. And that's to see how everything is meant for Krishna. That consciousness makes it a nice place. Does that answer your question? Yes.
We normally say that as we spend more years in Krishna consciousness, we are supposed to go more deep in the chanting of the holy name. But when I see this small journey in Krishna consciousness, that now with increasing age, there are increasing responsibilities at job, also increasing responsibilities in the temple, and all that, the way it affects the chanting and the quality of chanting becomes so bad. And when I look back myself as a student, I feel that I was chanting quite better way compared to now. So no way I see that I'm going deep into the holy name, rather a reverse process is happening in my life. And that brings a kind of hopelessness that with all these increasing responsibilities of job, family, or devotional responsibilities, the chanting is ultimately getting affected. So a kind of hopelessness comes, that is there any hope that we'll go deep into the holy name some point of time?
Hare Krishna. He's smiling as he's asking this question. Now he's laughing as he's asking. It is... it is Krishna's pleasure that is most important. Yesterday, one very wonderful man came to visit me, and he was talking about surrender. And he was saying that in the Bible, the Ten Commandments are there. But the real commandment was, may thy will be done. And then here's, this is my will. God is giving his will in so many different ways. But may thy will be done, which means, Krishna, I'm yours. My Lord, whatever is your will, that is, let that be my will. That actually is surrender. Surrender is not a horrible situation of being beaten down. Surrender just simply means, Krishna, whatever is your will is my will. That's all. It's very beautiful. It's very sweet. You can do it even in the happiest moment, but usually we don't. That's the problem. Samsidhir haritoshanam. That what pleases Krishna is what's important. So if you are taking serious responsibilities in life in a responsible Krishna conscious way, then you're pleasing Krishna. And you're trying to chant the holy names, even if it may not be as apparently attentive as it was when you were a student, the fact that you're taking such responsibility on behalf of Krishna, Krishna may be enjoying your attempts to chant the holy name now more than he was when you were a student. We should sincerely try to be very, very attentive to take shelter of the holy names of the Lord. But we should understand that our service attitude and our willingness to take responsibility in a Krishna conscious way is very, very pleasing to Krishna. And in that mood, even if our mind may be apparently less attentive, Krishna may be much more pleased with our chanting now, and I'm sure he is in your case. So certainly, we should take extremely seriously the priority of putting quality time aside to chant the holy names every day. That's very, very important. But we shouldn't think that taking spiritual responsibility is a distraction. Prabhupada said we make spiritual progress according to how we take responsibility in Krishna service. For a grihastha, family is a responsibility if we're raising them in Krishna consciousness. And our duties to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are serious responsibilities. So do not be discouraged. If you're taking these responsibilities honestly and sincerely, Krishna is very pleased. But at the same time, we should not justify in the name of our responsibilities becoming lax in our chanting. When we chant the holy names, we're begging Krishna for service. So Krishna gives us service. You must have been chanting quite sincerely when you were a student. Now you have so much service. Krishna's happy with your service. But avoid offenses and continue striving to chant as a primary priority of life. One more question, Mahaprabhu.
Maharaj, in spite of taking all responsibilities, whether it's family or temple responsibilities, if the conclusion is that this material world is dukhale, then why to waste time for doing so many things to so many people in spite of doing our best possible efforts? If in this world we will be unhappy, then why not to join only Brahmachari Ashram?
I'll ask the brahmacharis right now if they want you to join. Govinda Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Vasudev Prabhu, would you like Mahaprabhu to join the brahmachari? You can give microphone to them.
What should I say, Maharaj?
Tell us your realization.
Mahaprabhu, we can talk privately.
That's the answer. Grihastha ashram is another type of ashram. There's brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram. All these different ashrams are meant to prepare us for perfect Krishna consciousness. All of these ashrams, whether it's brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, they're all meant to bring us to the point of gajendra, of taking shelter of the Lord. And not everyone could be a brahmachari. If you artificially try to do it and you don't practice Krishna consciousness properly, if you're not following the principles properly because you're unable to, then you're not going to make progress. So grihastha ashram is more suitable. Yes? Grihastha ashram is a perfect arrangement for Krishna consciousness, but we have to keep our focus. Just like when Garga Muni came to the house of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj said, we grihasthas, we get caught up in all these worldly things, but you saintly people, you come to our houses just to remind us and keep us focused on the real goal of life. So all the responsibilities of grihastha ashram, they can be transformed into devotional service if we keep good association with sadhus. We have good character, we have good sadhana, and we learn to make our house a temple of God, an ashram of God. Yes, then grihastha ashram is perfect. And it's something that's very doable if we are sincere. But if you read the prayers of the great grihasthas or the great brahmacharis or sannyasis in the scriptures, they all basically say the same thing. They're praying to the Lord to keep them free from the illusion that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor, I'm the controller. And they're trying to orient their lives around service on the spiritual platform. Because we are eternal souls. We are Satchit Ananda. That's who we are. That's who we always will be. And factually, there's nothing that the crocodile of illusion can do to change that. We are eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We're eternally related to God, to Krishna. Nothing can change that. That's the ultimate hope. All we have to do is wake up from the illusion. The crocodile is just keeping us away from our reality. So obviously when Govinda said he wants to talk to you privately, my interpretation of this is that you would not make it in the brahmachari ashram. But you are doing service that the brahmacharis can't do. In fact, when the brahmacharis are in desperation in certain events, they come to you to help them. Yes? You wouldn't be able to do that for them if you were a brahmachari. So they need you the way you are. And you need them the way they are. They're giving you shelter in the sense of the inspiration of renunciation. And you're giving them shelter by your seniority and by your dedication and by the amazing acts of devotional service that you can offer. Does that answer your question? Still, you should speak to him privately. Govinda Prabhu, did I represent you properly?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.